All right, we're going to jump into today's You Asked For It. And today's You Asked For It was in our top 10. Today's You Asked For It, I'm going to pull rank, and I'm inserting one that didn't make the top three or four, but I've had a lot of questions about it lately. In the last several weeks, I've had several conversations with people about a topic in the Bible that I think some people get scared of. And we get a little iffy about, is it real? And that is this topic of spiritual warfare. When you say it, some of us go, uh-oh. Like he's about to pull out the shofar, which is the Jewish horn trumpet, and blow the trumpet, and we're going to scream and holler, because that's how you fight the devil, is that you scream at him, and you just get loud, and we lose our minds and get crazy. Or maybe you think that spiritual warfare is what you saw in the movie The Exorcist, with the green pea soup and the little kid's head that spins around, or all these movies. That's just not it. And in fact, it's something that God tells us, hey, you need to know about this and you need to be doing it. Let me start here. This is about the kingdom of God and the devil. And the devil is attacking the kingdom of God. God's already won, but the devil's still attacking, fighting against God and his people. And in the Bible, let me just say this too. If you're visiting with us or watching online, this is way deeper than I would normally go on a Sunday. This really is something that really probably best suited to sit down in a small group and talk about face to face. But I really felt like we needed to talk about this, because as your pastor, if I didn't, I don't feel like I would be doing you any favors by just skimming by it. But the Bible actually talks about heaven, and the word actually translates into three levels of heaven. The first level of heaven is what we would say is the sky, is the sun and moon and stars, kind of that. Then it talks about a second level of heaven, and that's where the Bible tells us that when Satan or the devil was thrown out of heaven, which we'll get to that in a minute, and it talks about the spirit world and the devil and all his minions kind of hanging out. That's where they are. And then there's what the Bible calls actually the third heaven, which is where God is, which is where we'll spend eternity. And it's really oversimplified, but you kind of get the idea. What I want to talk today is about that kind of second level. And I'm going to make this simple. You've heard me say this before. I really like to take things and make them simple. Cookies on the bottom shelf, so we can all kind of grow together and all learn. Because this is not my forte. I'll tell you up front that a lot of this I went to other pastors that I trust and some other people and studied and kind of got their input and their framing for it. Because the problem is we can go so off track, and the world gets us off track by adding into our thinking things that aren't true. But I want to read you what the Bible says first. This is about spiritual warfare and about warfare. This is Paul writing in Ephesians, and he's writing to the church in Ephesus. And he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So there's a live part. There's an active part. God's giving us something besides salvation, healing, and freedom. He's given us this power. It says in the next verse, that put on the full armor of God. You may have, if you've been in Sunday school, you've probably heard some of these. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand, and then uses this word, against the devil's schemes. See, we don't like to hear that. But the devil is plotting against you. He's trying every day, every breath you take, he's trying to take you out. Well, Clint, that doesn't sound so positive. Well, I'm positive that the devil is trying to take you out. Well, Clint, that doesn't sound so happy. It's not. But if we ignore it, doesn't mean it's going to go away. If you want happy, come back next week and we'll do a happy dance together. But this is truth. Look what it says in the next verse. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the, and it uses these words, ruler, authorities, powers of this dark world, and spiritual forces of evil in the, and it uses that word, the heavenly realms. That's that second level. That's the area where the Bible says that the devil was sent to over the earth. And in verse 13, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, here's another one. Clint, that doesn't sound so positive, the day that evil comes. Well, I'm positive. The Bible says it's coming. The thing is, what do we do about it? How do we handle it? What does it mean to us? It says, well, when that day comes, that you're going to be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, you're going to be able to keep standing. In verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness protecting you. And then the last verse, and with your feet covered with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And in addition to this, it says, take up a shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. He's going to be throwing stuff at you. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword, and this is where it only lists. All of these things it lists are defensive until it gets down to the sword, an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Another place, Paul talks about spiritual warfare in 2 Corinthians. He says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. We don't operate in that way. He says, it's not going to do you any good. Look what it says in the next part. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish, and it uses this word that we're going to really key on today, strongholds. Has the power to demolish strongholds. And in verse 5, it says, we demolish every argument and every pretension. Does it say truth? In other words, the devil throws, he even did it to Jesus, and he's going to do it to you. He throws things at you that are arguments. Are all arguments true? No. You can argue all day long that that red stop sign says go, but it doesn't make it true. You can also be misled, and you can have use this word pretension. It sets itself up against what is truth. And people can whisper in your ears and say, well, it says go, it says go, it says go. Well, no, it doesn't. So it sets up itself against the knowledge of God. That's where we would say no God. And it gives us ability, we have the ability to take every thought captive and do what? Make it line up with God. Make it line up with Christ. I tell people this a lot. It's this: if you want to win some battles in your mind, this is your verse right here. Because you can say to the devil, this does not line up with God, and therefore I'm taking it captive and it's not going to have its way in my life. That's a battle that will bring you a lot of freedom. But like I said earlier, I went and got some help and did some extra studying because the original languages, Greek and Hebrew, are not my thing. I did good to get by with English, and even that was a struggle. So Greek and Hebrew were just that, Greek and Hebrew. But I went and got some definitions, and I want to give you a couple of definitions of that word stronghold, of what that actually is, what it means. It means, one of the definitions, it means a captive locked by deception. Living a life by something that is untrue. The best example I could come up with is, have you ever been to a circus or maybe even to sometimes in the zoos and see an elephant, and they'll have an elephant with a chain on it, on its leg, and then they'll chain it to a tree or a post or something. You see a lot of it if you've ever traveled in Africa, you see it a lot. But what they do is they take that elephant, and when it's a small baby elephant, they put this huge chain on it. And they convince it by deceiving it that it cannot break loose, when in fact that elephant could snap at any time. Then as you see the old elephants get older, they'll actually have very small cables on their legs that the elephant very easily could snap. But because it's living its life under deception, and living by a life that's something that's not true, it never tries. It's because it's been sold and bought the lie, you can't break free from this. That's a stronghold. It's something that is not true. See, our prayer for us is that I can live by what God says is truth about me, not what the devil says is truth. A lot of us have these things like this elephant that we think, there's just no way I can't get by this. I'm never going to find freedom. I would say to you that these are strongholds in our lives. We just don't, this term just doesn't fit maybe our culture or thinking. Look at this other definition. A stronghold is anything in our minds that pretends to be bigger and more powerful than God. Now, if we're honest, how many of us, by this definition, maybe we allow some strongholds to lead and guide us? There are things that are telling you, well, God can't fix that. God can't heal you from that. God can't fix your family. Well, no, it's anything that pretends to be bigger and more powerful than God. See, spiritual warfare is not even what you see in the movies or the weirdness that the world makes it out to be. Some of you are experiencing it and you don't even know it. I'll give you a good example. In recent years, I heard some stories about some people who came to church and they had been dealing and battling with just depression. And they came in to worship, and even like today, I'll give you the example of that song, You're a Good, Good Father. Yes, you know, we're singing that song. Well, I'm not involved. You're not involved. But the person out there with you guys is and singing that. And as they're declaring God's truth, their story was, I felt the depression go away. Now, what happened? Was it some magic formula? Was it the person, nobody moved. There was no flashing lights like the and the person didn't do anything unusual other than they were just worshiping God, singing God's truth. You see, what began to happen is you began to sing God's truth, and God's truth is what the Bible tells us it would do, and it pushes out the stronghold. Those two things can't exist in the same spot, and the Bible says that as you do that, literally during worship, that is a form of spiritual warfare. But the devil doesn't want you to believe that because the devil is a liar. And you don't believe me, I'll show it to you in the Bible. Look what John chapter 8 says. The devil couldn't stand the truth because there wasn't a shred of truth in him. And when a liar speaks, he makes it all up of his lying nature. And then he does what with the lies? He conjures them up, and then what does he do with them? He dumps them on us. You see, spiritual warfare is simply put is this. It's exposing a lie and then replacing it with truth. Doesn't it sound so spooky spiritual, does it? Yeah. It's taking the lie of the enemy that says you can't, you'll never recover, you're worthless, whatever you may be dealing with, whatever he's attacking you with, and it's replacing it with the truth that says, no, you're a child of God. You were known before you were even on this earth, that you were created for a purpose, that his blood has not only set you free but made you whole. All these things of truth is replacing and exposing the lie of the devil. The NIV actually calls the devil the father of lies. So if we get down to this, we're replacing a lie with God's truth. Begs this question that I've really been studying and learning. How do I know? How do I know if there's a stronghold in my life? Now, please let me say this before we go any further. Depending on how you were raised and what church you were raised, or if you were not in church at all, this may be like, whoa, I don't really get this. Don't go to this, because a lot of people will go and say, well, if I have a stronghold, does that mean I'm possessed? Does that mean the devil possesses? No. For one, the Bible's very clear. If you know Jesus, that you can't have both. The Bible says that those two things can't exist in the same body. But you can have a stronghold. Doesn't mean you're possessed. It means the devil has sold you a lie that you've bought it. This doesn't have anything to do with salvation. You're not less saved or somehow your salvation is questionable. But it is very much for us something that we can find victory in, and we can get freedom in, because we're just living our lives with the chains thinking, oh, I can't get free, when the Bible says, no, I've given you a key to the chain, a key to the lock, I've given you everything you need to get free from that. We just have not chosen to see that. So I want to give you some examples, some symptoms. This is what I used. You can maybe run your life through this. Things, strongholds. It steals your focus. Anybody ever had an issue in life and you just cannot think about anything else? You can't sleep at night? I'm the only one. It's like you're tired and you haven't slept in days and you can still lay down and you stare at the ceiling and all you can think about is this issue in front of you. That's a stronghold. It steals focus. Again, it focuses you away from God's purpose and and having a relationship with Him or maybe a relationship with your family. It steals your focus. It causes you to feel controlled. There's something moving me. You've said this, because I have. I could never fix this. I could never get free. This thing directs me and controls me. Sometimes it's an addiction. Sometimes it's just a lie that we've bought into, that you feel emotionally drained. No matter how much you try to refresh yourself and be emotionally open to your friends and family, just I'm constantly sucked dry. I don't want to hang around anybody. That's a stronghold. Something that distracts you from your purpose. You've heard us say before that we want you to know God, find freedom from these issues, and discover your purpose. Well, one of the things the devil, that I think, gets excited about is when he gets people, it's not a heaven or hell issue, but he gets you away from your purpose. He gets you doing something else other than you were created to do, and that becomes an exponential win for him because you're not doing what you should be doing, and you're not affecting lives you should be affecting, and the devil's derailing God's plan for people's lives. That it robs us of the life God intended for us. Again, he directs you in another path. He leads you down another direction that says, this is not where God wanted me. So what I'm going to do today in the next few minutes here, I'm going to give you three sets of lists. I'm going to give you three things you need to believe, three weapons that you have to fight, and then three ways you can use those weapons, three things you can do every day. Because a big step of this is really believing and knowing what the Bible says about spiritual warfare. Now again, in the time we have, I can't go with everything there is. There's a whole lot more. If you want more scripture, more verses, more Bible, I'll give it to you. If you just send me a message, I'll send it to you. But the three things you need to know, and this is the first one, and it seems silly, but it's true. You need to know that the devil is real. Yeah, that's not where we usually go, amen, praise God. But it's still true. That there's a lot of Christians that live this lopsided Christianity life that God's real, I love him, I serve him, I give to him, I tithe, I pray. But when somebody says devil, what devil? There's no devil. Ain't no devil. I don't do devils. Well, you can not believe in the devil all day long, but it doesn't make him not real. It's not a metaphor. It's not just a symbol. This is a recent survey I found in a Barna group. Do you know that 60% of Christians, these are people who say that Jesus is my Lord, he's the Son of God, he came, he died for me, rose again, now seated at the right hand of the Father. 60% of Christians don't believe in a literal devil. They believe it's an analogy or just a symbol in the Bible, there's not a real devil. But you ask them, do you believe in a real Jesus? They, of course, will say, yeah, he's my Savior. That's scary. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11 that Satan himself masquerades around as the angel of light. He's sneaky. He's quick-witted. The Bible is very clear that even the devil knows the word that we try to quote. And if you're honest, for a lot of Christians, the devil knows more Bible than you do. That's scary. Look what the Bible says. Well, actually, let me tell you this. Here's some. If you want some notes, here's some extra notes for you. If you want to read about the devil and how the devil is a fallen angel. There was Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Lucifer was basically in charge of praise and worship. One day he decided, I don't like God getting all the honor, the glory. He got too big for his britches. The Bible says, you can read it in Genesis 1:1, and then in Isaiah 14:28, it gives us the description of the devil getting kicked out of heaven. Most theologians believe that it's a complicated process to show you how they got there, but most theologians believe that when the devil got kicked out of heaven, one third of the angels had pledged allegiance to him and were kicked out with him. without going into all the detail, that's essentially where we would say the devil, and then you hear stories in the Bible or hear people talk about demons. They were angels who were kicked out of heaven. So the devil is real. Look what it says in Revelation. This is describing what I just said. Then the war broke out in heaven. Then Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon is symbolism in Revelation used to talk about the devil. And his angels fought back. So the dragon and his angels, that's where they think some went with him, fought back. But here's a scripture you can hang your hat on. But it says, this is the devil, but he was not strong enough and they lost their place in heaven. So anybody that tells you, well, the devil still has power over you and can win over you, say, no, that's why he was thrown out of heaven, because he couldn't even hang in heaven. The devil does not have power over you, but he was not strong enough. The second thing you need to know, the devil is real, and the devil's goal is to destroy us. If he can't keep you from getting saved, then he wants to keep you from your purpose. He wants to get you derailed and confused. There's so many, this is why we tell, that's why I like to teach these things really in smaller groups. We can sit down and talk because the devil gets us off track and believing things that the Bible says and getting them out of whack. And, well, God must not really love me if he's going to let the devil do this. Well, no, he loves you so much that he sent his son so the devil couldn't do this to you. We choose to allow him to. Ignoring the devil again does not make him go away. He has a purpose. John 10:10 says this, that the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Is to steal, kill, and destroy us. That's his whole existence. There is no nice part of the devil. It really gets under my skin to hear people talk, oh, well, it's not that bad. It's just a little devil. It's just those little bee devils. It's not too bad. It's that little one. He just makes me angry. And it's just a little. There is no such thing as a little devil. He's bad. And if he's here, if he's around you, if he's coming after you, he has this purpose. To take everything you have, to kill everything that's precious to you and destroy your life. The devil's goal is to destroy us. Here's the good thing. The devil responds to authority. He has no choice. The devil responds to authority. The Bible says in 1 John 4 that the one in us is greater than the one who is in the world. Talking about the devil. God threw the devil and all his demons and threw them out of heaven. And it puts us in a place where now the devil, the Bible says, if you really read in Genesis 1:1, it talks about the prince of the principalities of the air. That's the devil. He threw them out of heaven. And short stories, when Adam and Eve messed up, they allowed the devil to have some authority and begin to create havoc on the earth and sin and death and sickness and disease. But the Bible gives us weapons. And I'm just going to give you, I kind of boiled it all down to three. These break out into more. But the first one is this. The first one is the name of Jesus. Is his the Bible says the mere mention, there's a scriptures all through the Old Testament prophesying about Jesus who would come. And it says the mere mention of his name would set fear into the enemy. Sort of like when college football now, and we say, you got to play Georgia, right? Hey, I had to lighten it up a little bit. Y'all are getting too serious on me. You know, back in the day when you used to say, hey, we got to play Alabama. Ooh. Now it's like, so? But the Bible says the name of Jesus, his name is higher than any other name. There's nothing above it. Even so, in the New Testament, you had the disciples. Well, I don't know if you know this in the Bible, but he actually sends out big groups of people, and they call them disciples. In one verse, he sends out 72 people and says, we got a lot of work to do. Y'all spread out. You 72 go, and y'all pray for people, and you heal people, and you tell them about me. Well, the Bible, Luke records it when they come back. Look at this in Luke chapter 10. It says, the 72 return with joy. And think about this. There's humor in the Bible. They're coming back to the man that sent them and telling him this. Like Jesus is like, no way, it worked? Who knew? That's who they're talking to. So he comes back and says, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And then Jesus tells them the story, his story of, because remember, Jesus was there. Jesus was in heaven watching all this. When Daddy said no more and kicked the devil out, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He said, I've given you the authority to trample over. And in this case, it is their analogies. There are people who take this stuff literally and handle snakes and stuff. And I don't like snakes, so we're not doing that. This is an analogy that the Greek would have used for the devil. And to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. See, there's this, even in Christian, maybe churches, I don't know if churches are teaching it or it's just we believe this as a group, as children of God, as Christians, that there was, because the Bible talks about this battle in heaven. But it wasn't a battle in the sense of, like, go back to football, a football game, like one team does good, and then the other team does good, and finally you have all these battles, and if you win enough battles, that's how you win the war, right? See, that's not what happened. And we give the devil too much credence when we believe that, because Jesus, who was there, if you back up one verse to verse 18 in this, it says Jesus, when he was there, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Has anybody ever heard or seen slow lightning? No. It's what? Crack. It's over like that. That's what happened. Satan rose up, said, I want some of this glory. I need some attention from me. I believe God just went, pff. And he's over. And the Bible says, I saw Satan come like lightning out of heaven. So we give the devil too much credit that he somehow warred against God. The devil is so dumb, he's still fighting a battle he's already lost. Right? And we go, yeah, amen, he is. But yet, we don't act like we've won. We don't even act like the other team's real. It's almost like we go to play, like going back to football, and I tell you, I want you to come play a football game, but there's not going to be anybody on the other side of the field. Just you. No defense when you're on offense, no offense when you're on defense. Is that a game? No. It's me saying, well, my opponent's real. Well, no, it's not. That's the way we treat the devil sometimes. Like, it's not real. The Bible says it's real, but it's not real. That the name of Jesus carries such power in Philippians 2 that it says that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. One version says every tongue will confess. That in heaven, on earth, there's nothing more powerful than that name. Now, what he's talking about is that eventually, you won't have a choice. I had a friend that used to teach, I'm going to choose to bow my knee now while I have the option before I'm told to bow my knee by the Father. That's pretty deep. Did y'all catch that? Some of y'all didn't, because you're staring at me like, what's he talking about? The Bible says that we humbly bow and say, God, you're my Savior. Jesus, I receive you as my Savior, and I submit my life to you, and I bow to you. But there's going to come a day when the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus' name is above all names. And you either bow now while I can willingly submit my life to Jesus, or you bow later when he says it's too late and he forces it. That's the power of the name of Jesus. The second thing, the blood of Jesus. The cross was the ultimate act of defeat for the enemy. The Bible says when Jesus came out of heaven that he took from the devil the keys to death, hell, and the grave. The devil's been defeated, but he's still wanting to take out as much of us as he can. Revelation, in Revelation 12:11, it says this, talking about us as believers, that they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb, we talked about the blood, and by the word of their testimony. Because that's the new. You have the blood of Jesus, and your third one is the word of Jesus. You have the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of Jesus. Even the devil, you read in the New Testament, y'all remember that Jesus, was, the Bible says he was taken up to the mountain and Jesus was tempted. Who was he tempted by? The devil. And what did the devil do to him? He said, hey, you need to do this, this, and this. And then he tagged scripture into it. He said, and he would quote scripture to Jesus. And Jesus, every time, corrected him because he was quoting it out of context. He was lying, taking pieces of the word and lying about it. But the Bible says of our word, look at this in John chapter 8, verse 31, that Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you're my disciples. And then you'll know something. Then you'll know the truth. Remember, spiritual warfare is simply taking a lie and replacing it with what the truth of what God says. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It will remove that stronghold from your life. This is why we want you to know your Bible. Now, I do realize that when we start, and for some of you, you started this way, you read your Bible just trying to develop a habit, trying to develop a good habit, and that's a good start. But ultimately, we don't want you just to read your Bible to check a box. We want you to read your Bible to know your Bible, to know the Word, to know how to use it, to know, take the Bible, remember, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and begin to tell the devil, no, you don't have authority over me, because Jesus said he's given me authority over you, and you've got to go. Amen. If you've been here before, you've heard me say this, that our neighbors in our old neighborhood where we used to live at one point probably thought I was crazy, because we had this stronghold, and it was this sickness, it was constant, that we were sick, the kids were sick, and it was just going over and over and over, back and forth between my girls. And I remember going to the front door, and I don't know, just something rose up in me, just this righteous anger. And I opened the front door, and the loudest I could scream, I said, devil, get out. Because the Bible says that you can't stay here. By the blood of Jesus, we are healed and whole. You got to go. And I'm sure my neighbors thought I was crazy, but you get to the place where I'm done with this. Like, I'm not playing this game anymore. We've patty caked it enough. Sometimes I think we need to kick the door in. And we can do that when we know the word. I'll tell you a quick story that when I was at Oral Roberts University, I traveled a lot, and we traveled with the music teams. And at that time, the guy who was president had a security guard. He'd had some threats on his life, and he hired a security guard. Well, he hires a retired Special Forces Green Beret Secret Service guy, one of the guys who guarded actually Barbara Bush. So we saw him a lot, and he knew, we got to talking, and we had both had this interest in firearms and guns, and we would talk a lot about, and he said, Clint, my pistol and my Bible are the same thing. I said, what do you mean? And he began to quote scripture to me, just like, and just impressive. And he said, but at the same time, I can take my weapon, and before you blink your eyes, I can have it pointed at your nose. He goes, because that's how well they wanted us to be able to handle our weapon. When you're guarding the president in closed spaces and, you know, in tight spaces, you got to be right, you got to be good, and you got to be 100% accurate every time. And so we were in this room, and he said to us, he said, watch. And he takes his weapon out, takes it all apart, shows us it's clear, and he stands facing a wall, so he's not pointed at anybody. And he said, and he just stood there. He holstered it, and he just stood there. We began to talk. You really have, you can do it that fast. Yes, I can do it that fast. And I'm watching him. I can have it pointed, and we had to be able to have it out in like a split second. And before I could say, you really, he was like, that fast. And he said, I'm telling you, you can do the same thing with your Bible if you know how to use it. Well, he didn't get that way by just doing it once a month. He got that way by doing what? 1,000 times, over and over and over. And I'll never forget him telling us, you can do the same thing with your Bible. The devil can attack you and you can immediately respond. No, devil, that's not true. I do not have to be sick, because the Bible says that Jesus died on the cross and his blood set me free. Amen. Right? That he was wounded for me, that he bled for me, and by his stripes I am made whole. I'm healed. you can shoot right back. That's why we want you to know your Bible. So I want to give you these things real quick. Three things you can do. Man, I'm long. I'll go fast. Guys, you can come back. Ushers, do your thing. Here's the first thing. Three things you can do every day. First thing is you need to stay close to God. Stay close to God. We see we drift, and sometimes we're thinking in our lives, why are these things going on in my life? Why is this suddenly, it's not a salvation thing, but why are things suddenly aggravating? Why is the devil turning up the heat? Maybe you moved out from under the umbrella. The Bible says in James that you submit yourselves then to God. And when you do, resist the devil. And when you do resist him, he'll flee. Notice there's an order there. Submit, resist, flee. Then the Bible says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Stay close. This is why we tell people taking one step is so important, because it keeps you close to God. It keeps you under the umbrella of God's covering. Again, the devil is somebody who understands authority. I tell people all the time, you can't have authority unless you're what? Under authority. So stay close to the one who is in charge. The second thing, now we're going to get a little personal here, is you got to close any open doors. You have to close any open doors. Paul writes in Corinthians that we need to do this so Satan can't outwit us and we're not unaware of his schemes. And I debated on whether to say this. I actually called Melanie in the office and said, hey, what do you think? She kind of went, ooh. And it may get me in trouble. But I don't feel like I would be doing you the job that God's asked to do if I don't say this to you, especially today. The devil has used our culture to dupe us into this false reality. And he has us teaching our kids that the devil is just a fairy tale. Now, I'm going to have to tell you, you're going to have to ask God, if you're watching online, watching this later, you need to ask God. This is between you and God. But I'm going to give it to you like what I believe the Bible teaches. You can start way back when with Harry Potter. You can come all the way up now to Hocus Pocus. Right? We're teaching our kids, it's just a fairy tale. It's just this little devil. The sad thing is, I can take a little bullet, set it here on the table. It's not going to hurt me. But do I understand its potential to destroy life? Certainly. See, I think we're playing with it. We're allowing the world. And I'm not telling you this is a heaven or hell issue, or if you went and watched Hocus Pocus, or maybe some of you wore the t-shirts. I don't know. That you're suddenly now possessed with the devil and you're just a demoniac. That's not what I'm telling you. But I am telling you that I think if we're not careful, we take the stuff created by a Hollywood producer as a movie trick, thinking it's just made to scare us, or maybe to be funny, when it's not. That witches, warlocks, chants, and spells, it's just not. That the Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, that don't give the devil a foothold. Foothold is not suddenly you're just doing seances and playing with Ouija boards and calling down evil spirits. A foothold is, I'm laughing at something because it's maybe funny in our culture, in our language, but the Bible says the guy behind that is out to kill, steal, and destroy me. And if I can protect my kids from something that may be, again, I know I'm behind. I'm hurry, I promise. I told Melanie this. I think sometimes the devil's plan is death by 1,000 doors. And it's not till you open that 1,000th door 30 years from now and then realize, oh, crap. But here's the thing. You wouldn't have to worry about that 1,000th door if you never opened what? The first one. I can't tell you what the result of doing and saying and being a part of and pushing your kids at it and dressing them up like this. And we do Halloween as light the night, because I believe the Bible says go be a light in a dark place. not to go be a light in a light place. Go be light in a dark place. The Bible goes on in Ephesians 5 and says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Don't have anything to do with them, but also do what? Expose them. Call it for what it is. I think we need to take a hard look at this and ask God to show us. Because the third thing you need to do is you need to confront the enemy. Confront the enemy in prayer. That the Bible says that our faith is not this passive thing. We just, Christianity, a lot of people want it just to be, you just lay down and let whatever happen, happen. That's not what the Bible says. And I will tell you this, if I had information that tonight at 2:30, three men are going to break into your house and kick your front door in, and they're going to take everything that's precious to you and take all your stuff. How many of you are just going to go to bed tonight and just, whatever, just let it happen? Devil's not real anyway. No, right? You're going to be on the front porch with Mr. Smith, Mr. Wesson, and Uncle Glock, and bring it on, right? Then why do we do that with our spiritual lives? Just whatever. That you can confront the enemy in prayer. The Bible says in 1 Peter, why don't you go ahead and stand with me and I'll read this to you. 1 Peter, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking to eat you. And then it says you need to do something. You need to be active. You need to stand firm and be strong in your faith. And that's my challenge to you today. You know three things that are true. I've told you three weapons you have, and now I've told you three things that you can be doing. We can leave here. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes? God, I thank you that you have won. You are the victory. God, we need you every day. But God, we also need to do something, and that's receive Jesus. Receive the one that paid the price. Receive the one whose blood is our answer, and receive the one who you said is the very word of God. That it's that simple. The Bible says if you believe Jesus is your Savior in your heart, he is who he says he is, he did what he said he would do, you confess it with your mouth, that now salvation is yours. But the fight is just beginning. God, I thank you for everybody within the sound of my voice. Those who are right now praying, God, I need you. Jesus, I receive you maybe for the first time. But for all of us, God, that we leave here knowing that the enemy's real, but also knowing that you've already defeated him. And we just have to walk in that. We have to confront him with authority, the authority given to us by you, Lord Jesus. And God, we thank you for it now. We thank you for being so good to us. God, we need you every hour, every day, that you're our protector and we stay close to you, God. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,